Coming back to the theme and variation thing, you can take any element of your phrase and make it the common thread between that and the next phrase. This is called phrase congruency. We've done this before. So it can be a certain rhythm, it could be a certain note or a relationship of notes or any kind or technique. So if I can demonstrate, I don't know what's going to come out, but hopefully phrase two is connected to phrase one, and phrase three is connected to phrase two somehow. One, two, three. So that was three different examples of, A prime, B prime, C prime. If I can remember what I did, the first thread was double stops, and the second thread was like a rhythmic thing, and then the third one was like the actual technique of the trill. So three completely different examples. One was like more melodic, i.e., two notes. It just happened to be two notes at once. One happened to be rhythmic and one happened to be based on technique. So whatever you're, and I didn't, by the way, I didn't do A1, A2, A3, A4, A5. I did A1, B1 and I moved on to a new idea.
Yeah.
So as long as you're conscious of what you're doing.
I'm going to do one idea that I do a lot and see if I can come up with it. Oh, there's a
you're going to do something you do a lot. You want me to comp?
Sure.
All right, here we go. 3, 4, 1, 2. So right there, you could have had, right there with that, you could have went in several directions. You could have just concentrated on the rhythm, like so. Or, like the rhythm is there. Or you could have concentrated on the interval, the three intervals, like in other words. Like three notes that are step skip. Like right there is, like whether you realize that or not, that these three notes, it's step skip, meaning in the scale, you have, and so you have two notes right next to each other and then skip a note. So it's like, that's the structure of, and the rhythm does not have to be the same. You could just do step skip. You know what I mean? You're just that would be the melodic, intervallic motif. These are called motifs when you have a little idea and it carries you through. Here we go. Keep going a little bit.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, go. Good, exact repetition. Nice. You know that little good. You're doing good. You know that little the rake that you do?
Yeah.
That could be a thing in and of itself. So let me try and demonstrate that, like. was just fun with rakes. That was all. In any the rhythm could be anything you want. The pitches could be anything you want. You're just zeroing in on one little aspect.
Okay, this may be something that's like could be really really dumb, but I don't know why.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
So
yeah. To summarize this, how to solo melodically. Actually, we should just do a little more work on the interval thing. We didn't do enough there. The intervals can be any relationship of pitches. I'm going to try and demonstrate. 1, 2, 3, 1. So all I was doing was I zeroed in on, that was called Fun with Sixths by Dennis Wayne. I know, so I just found some, and one of them was, yeah. I've just found different six. What's that?
You want country right there.
Yeah, I went country right there, because they sound like six, but it could be any interval. It could be, like we talked about step, step, skip. What about just a leap? A leap could work, like any old, like here, let me try and demonstrate a leap. Like 1, 2, 3, 4. In either direction, the rhythm could be whatever you want, the pitches could be whatever you want, but each phrase had a leap.
There's a lick that I do with that. If we're still doing B-flat, so like a...
That's cool. Yeah, because your string skip. Yeah, it's cool. So that's any other relationship with pitches can be, you know, so try a little bit. Try a little bit of melodic... phrase congruency, where whatever having to do with the pitches catches your ear, and you carry that theme through multiple phrases.
Oh God!
All right, here we go.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, go. Oh, do it in B flat. Yeah, here we go. 3, 4. There you go. Nice. Yeah. Careful.
I keep going to A.
That's okay. Good. What about that right there? Like, you're just taking two adjacent notes and going back and forth. It could be any rhythm, so the rhythm doesn't have to be the same. So, like that in of itself, three pitches. One is the first is the same as the third is the same as the first. That's your motif. All right, 1, 2, 3, go. There you go. Yeah, you got the idea. Another thing you did earlier, that's very good. Another thing you did was you were doing reverse contour. Like contour is the shape of a phrase can be a motif. Like an ascending, you do all ascending phrases or all descending. So what I'm referring to is for a minute you did ascending, descending. So listen to this. 2, 3, 4. I messed it up. I should do that again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, that was mixed contour. The first few were ascending, descending, ascending, descending, ascending, descending. And then I mixed it up, like,
in triplets. Bad that I don't realize what I'm playing about 70% of the time.
Yeah, so I'm just giving you tools tools for recognition. There's the melodic stuff, you could go on for hours with it. Even just a simple half step. I'm trying to still keep the blues form, but any the simplest little device can get you off if you take time to play around with it. So I hope that helps. In the end, you're just becoming conscious of the rhythm that you're using, the relationship of the pitches, the overall phrasing that you're using. All these different elements go into melodic soloing. And you have to basically spend time with each one. I'm not saying I'm a master at all of them. I'm not. We, you know, even amazing guitar, like world famous guitarists, are masters at some of them. No one's a master at, maybe not. I shouldn't say no one, but you know, people are masters at a few of them, and they exploit it. But then the risk of that is that's why even famous guitarists, a lot of times they sound the same night after night. So, you know, real masters of the instrument or of improv, I should say, they have everything. They have everything down, so they sound fresh every time because they're constantly just happening upon whatever catches their ear in the moment. If that makes any sense. Let's just do an example. You talk about lick embellishment. Like, how do you have a lick and then keep on embellishing, keep on embellishing, keep on embellishing? So. I'm gonna play a random lick, and I would like for you to tell me which aspect of it catches your ear, if any. Okay. Like, I'll put the metronome. All right, what caught your ear there?
The first bend.
The bend. Okay, perfect. So there you go. So there's my very simple. Common thread. So, I just did a whole chorus. I'm not saying that was like the Grammy winning solo or something, but I easily did a whole chorus of blues right there with just focus on bends. So that's my answer. And then chances are, you know, that was a little artificial because I forced it to be only bends. But within the course of doing that, something else is going to catch my ear and I'll go with that.
Okay.
And then something else catches your ear, but at least I know what it is. And it should only be one thing. Like if you're not, like, the most common mistake is people trying to do too much. Like, everyone from the third grader to the 99-year-old person in the audience should know exactly what the thread is.
Yeah.
You know. So if you're having a hard time embellishing, you're just thinking about too many aspects of it. Just focus on one little aspect and exploit it. Exploit the crud out of it until you're ready for the next one.